Sit back, relax, and enjoy as Don Tony gives you news and reviews from AEW.
Welcome to the party! Oh my God, that's a coming semi!
NXT.
It's over!
Cross is here to ransack NXT souls!
And indie wrestling. It's Wednesday night, Dynamite.
Know what's happening in the world of wrestling without the hate and clickbait. And now, your host, Don Tony.
I figured since I was wearing lime green tonight, we have a little darker backdrop. What's up, everybody? It's Wednesday night, March 10th, 2021. Tell you, it kind of feels a little awkward sometimes not up here doing video every single day. How's everybody doing tonight? Interesting Dynamite? Interesting, although predictable, how they handled the fizzled explosion finale of Revolution. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about NXT tonight. Maybe sprinkle in a little bit of NWA updates. Impact Wrestling is doing their Sacrifice pay-per-view. Big T, who won the NXT main event? Who do you think? Finn Balor retains. Yeah, I tell you, I could have sat here, and I know haters will hate this, I could have sat here almost half hour of this show and just play clips of what we have been saying for the last month. Jordan Devlin returning to confront Santos Escobar, Cruiserweight champion versus Cruiserweight champion. Kenny Omega coming out there saying that all that stuff was intentional to play with the mind of Jon Moxley and Eddie Kingston, although that should have been done at the pay-per-view, so you don't give fans 72 hours to think about it. Oh, we could go on and on and on. Karrion Kross coming out to confront Finn Balor as soon as he defeats Adam Cole, which we said last week. Kyle O'Reilly back feuding with Adam Cole, so it allows Adam Cole to go this way, and Finn Balor and Karrion Kross could go this way. Now we just need NXT to go to Tuesday nights, which is what we've been saying for 6 months. But if you allow me to just, I think I'm entitled. I think if you allow me just once, just to play one clip of something that I said last week while every other podcast, well, you know, I should take that back. When you do your show a day later, 2 days later, 4 days later, 5 days later, and you got all that time to think, and you watch everybody else's opinions, yeah, you take 2, 3, 4, 5 days to come up with ideas and predictions, you're probably going to get it right. But when you do it immediately after the show's end, I think that's what makes the difference. Wow, that's awfully small. Ah, that's better. Last week, controversy. Because Shayna Baszler is not the legal person, blah, blah, blah. So later on, we see William Regal and Adam Pearce talking. We don't know what it's about, but then William Regal later on says, after what happened in tonight's match, he's going to make a major announcement next week that's going to shake the landscape of NXT. I know a lot of people are thinking it has to do with Tuesday night change. A lot of people think WrestleMania. I think, and I have yet to see one person say this tonight, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe it's wishful thinking, but I think the major announcement is NXT is going to have their own women's tag team championships. Remember this comment. Because if that's the announcement last week... Oh, you don't hear it? I will play this. Oh, shit. Okay. All right. That's okay. That's all right. Hold on. You might... Oh, this is real... Wow. Talk about ruining it. Ruining it. Oh, let me see. Tell me if you hear it now.
Controversy. because Shayna Baszler is not the legal person. Man. Blah, blah, blah.
That sucks. That sucks. Fuck. That's okay. I'm always persistent. Where's the audio settings for this? That really sucks, man. Man, that really sucks. I'm trying to see if I could get it. Fuck it. You can hear me, though, right? You can hear me. All right, forget that. All right, last week I said, while everybody else is coming up with every other idea, I predicted we'd have NXT Women's Tag Team Champions. Boy, did I just blunder that one. My God, how do I criticize the explosion now after that fiasco? Damn, that sucked. The audio was not playing. Hey, you look, most of you tune into the shows every week. You know what I said last week. You know, 2 weeks ago, Jordan Devlin, last week, tag titles, this and that. We got them. And I got to be honest with you. I think they're really nice looking. Beautiful. You know, simple, not too complicated, nice look, a little smaller. I like it. I like it. Now, let me explain to everybody out there. You know, I can understand wrestling fans not getting this. You got, you know, big time podcasters and bloggers that are making this question. I honestly don't know if it's just stupidity or they're just trying to get your attention to talk to them. Why would you put the belts on Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez just to have them lose to Ember Moon and Shotzi Blackheart an hour later? That's what everybody is saying tonight. There's a very logical explanation for that. Because now you're going to hear the rumors of Raquel Gonzalez going after Io Shirai. Now you're going to hear the rumors of Dakota Kai having a falling out possibly with Raquel Gonzalez. Now you're going to hear the rumors of Dakota Kai possibly going to the main roster. So why do you put the belts on them even for an hour? For the record books. For the record books. Plain and simple. If you looked at those belts up closely, they had the name tags on it for Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez. It was for the record books. Listen, when they had the first ever WWE Women's Tag Team Championships, and yes, back in the 80s, we had women's tag titles as well. But as far as the current generation, the WWE generation, you know, you put the belts on Sasha Banks and Bayley. Because when you those titles develop a very long, prestigious lineage, you'll always go back and say, those two were the start. That's what it's about with NXT. You know, as much as you may not like Dakota Kai, Dakota Kai has really worked her ass off. And you know what? I think that was a nice gesture by WWE's part to put their names at the top of the list that you can never take that away. Yeah, they only had the belts for an hour. Sure. Yeah, I totally get it. I saw everybody saying, why didn't they just, you know, make it vacant to start off and then we crown the first out? Because they wanted Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez to be the first two women on that list. It's not rocket science. You know what? Much love to everybody in the chat who's showing a lot of appreciation for Dakota Kai. You know, I see some of the stuff that's written online, you know, a lot of negativity. But she's very talented, very talented. Raquel Gonzalez obviously is on her way to becoming a big star. So when you look back at the record books, none against Shotzi Blackheart or Ember Moon. Shotzi Blackheart is more of a character. Ember Moon is kind of both. You see Ember Moon's crying, her tears, that was real. You see Shotzi Blackheart in tears also, that's real. I saw some of the best podcasters over the last week say, we got too many fucking titles. Why do we fucking need more belts? This is so stupid. Why do we have, why do we even need NXT Women's Championship titles? What? It doesn't make sense. What? That's, it's so stupid. Why don't you ask Shotzi Blackheart? Why don't you ask any woman on the NXT roster? Why don't you ask any women's tag team in NXT right now that it's more stupid for them to have a pair of titles that they could go for than to have nothing. Nothing. Nothing makes, that makes more sense. Nothing makes more sense than having something to go for. What, are you stupid? Come on, man. I don't know if all these people are just dumb or it's clickbait. I don't know. I honestly don't care. I honestly don't care. I mean, usually things that I don't care about, I worry about us. I worry about the family, all of you out there. I worry about us, you know, talking a little bit, you know, with half a brain as far as why things happen. So congrats to Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez to be in the first ever NXT Women's Championships. That is something they'll never be able to take away from them. Congratulations to Shotzi Blackheart and Ember Moon. Shotzi has improved substantially in that ring. You think a year ago of all those careless dives and everything else and the little comments and, you know, just people just, you remember? You know, you put her looks aside, a lot of negativity. What a difference a year makes. And you know what? What a difference a year makes for Darby Allin. I have to give that guy a hell of a lot of credit today. I mean, I've seen Darby Allin have good matches. But his match with Scorpio Sky today showed this guy does not have to be, you know, this high-flying, suicidal, you know, do dumbass moves just for an adrenaline rush type of wrestler. This guy just countered offense, defense. Awesome. Now, I will say this. Overall, and I know this might ruffle some feathers. I'm going to say it now. Watching the entire Dynamite tonight. Watching the entire NXT tonight. NXT should have kicked the shit out of AEW in the ratings today. I praise both programs. I criticize where necessary. And I call out things that people don't have the balls to call out because they want likes, they want hits, they want attention in any way possible. Whether it's triggering Tony Khan on YouTube for playing full-length clips of their shows and being surprised when you get copyright flags. And then because the creator has got these, you got all these males. And I'm not trying to be an asshole. You got all these males think they're making feminist statements. Show support. You don't have a fucking clue. Half of you don't even fucking put shit online. You don't know nothing about copyrights and everything like that. Plus, there is a phrase that you get more bees with honey. Get more bees with honey. Then the Maki Ito today. Maki Ito. I like Maki Ito. I do this. This is a compliment. She will be a nice little star in the United States if she's here long enough. Something happened today. I swear to you, I loaded and reloaded and reloaded and reloaded and reloaded and reloaded and reloaded. Come on. All of these accounts that love to put all of these wrestle crap moments, the Dark Order punching air, Nia Jax running into a barricade by herself, Eva Luno at the pay-per-view eliminating himself, running. All of these accounts that race to post all of that wrestle crap stuff. I'm loading and reloading. No post. No post. No post. Do you know what I'm talking about? I got to put the glasses on. Does anybody in the chat room know what I'm talking about? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Nobody knows what I'm talking about. I don't want to take the chance of breaking my microphone. Go back and watch Maki Ito hitting Hikaru Shida in the head with a microphone repeatedly. I just made more damage to my head than what that was. All of these goofs did not post it because they're afraid of triggering all of these fans that are infatuated with Maki Ito, all of these diehard AEW fans that will join up and no, instead, go to quick goof, go up a goof. Oh, that's epic. Go up a goof, go go goof. Sing it. I like her work. I'm a fan. But when you see her on the stage going like this, and Hikaru Shida going like this, don't insult my fucking intelligence. Don't insult my fucking intelligence. Now my glasses are all foggy. It's hot in here. Come on. Overall, I thought this episode of Dynamite sucked. The ending was great. But I thought this episode of Dynamite fell flat in so many... Oh my God, it's even worse. I don't want to have to use prescription sunglasses. Shit. Man, no audio for my predictions clip, and now I got foggy glasses. They'll do. It'll do. We don't have to do an uber long show today. We got tomorrow. Don't forget. What's my take on Mark Madden? Well, since Mark Madden, what does he have to do with Dynamite and NXT right now? Seriously. But 316, what's my opinion on Mark Madden? I always thought he was a douchebag back in the day. Over the years, I've actually gotten a lot more respect for him. Pretty good journalist. You know, it's just there were times I thought he was a schmuck. I don't think he's a schmuck anymore. So anyway, so overall tonight, I thought NXT put on a fabulous show. All right? I was a little bit surprised that the next to last quarter, we get the grizzled young veterans telling the Gato Fantasma that you're being treated like pipits. Like pipits. What the fuck is a pipit? We're the grizzled young veterans. I got news for you. Go see a grizzled old dentist. Your teeth are all fucked up. What are you, Dracula? Got little fangs and broken teeth and this and that. Look at that. And a grizzled young veteran. You go to see a grizzled old dentist to fix your fucking teeth. You're in high definition in the fucking big time WWE. Pipits. You're being treated like pipits. Pipits. But at least we got to see MSK return. That's why I'm wearing the colors today. Pipits. You can see pipits. You're in America. It's a pipit. Hey, I get a lot of flack for my New York accent. So when I hear accents like that too, it agrees in young veterans. The pipits. Your pipits. Anyway, we'll talk about both shows. I just needed to just get those couple of things off my chest. As far as the ending of Dynamite tonight, I like that they got rid of MJF in the Inner Circle. It didn't fit. It didn't fit. I know a lot of people, including yours truly, thought there was a possibility that Chris Jericho may be kicked out of the Inner Circle. The only problem is, it's not a Latino thing or anything like that. Just seeing MJF with Santana and Ortiz, especially with some of the earlier segments and stuff, it just didn't feel like it fit. Sammy Guevara, they tease kicking him out of the Inner Circle, and it's like, okay, what does he do now? What does he do now? You know, Sammy Guevara will ultimately get kicked out of the Inner Circle, but you see now they're baby faces, so he don't have to be kicked out. You could be in the Inner Circle and be a baby face too. But I'll say this. This is how I felt about Dynamite tonight overall. Any of you out there cook? Any of you out there cook? Any of you make tomato sauce? Meatballs, lasagna? You have to make a really nice sauce. Make a nice soup. Maybe you make like a nice souffle. Maybe a nice stir fry. You know, maybe you like to, you know, something, or a really nice salad. Okay. What do you want me to use as an example? You could choose soup, sauce, or salad. SSS. Quick. Choose soup, sauce, or salad. And I'll tell you how I felt about Dynamite tonight. Gravy. I hate when Italians say gravy. Oh my God, I hate that. Sauce. Okay, we got a lot of sauce votes. All right, sauce. You know, when you make tomato sauce, you start out with tomato puree, peeled tomatoes, little garlic, salt, pepper, oregano. You might take a little bit of pork and you just let it sit in the sauce, let it thicken, a little grated cheese, you know, maybe a little onion if you're into that. And the magic ingredient that a lot of people don't think about, even though I don't have any of that anymore, a little tiny bit of sugar. And you put those ingredients in there, especially if you put a pork brujol in there, or you put some pork on a bone, you know, even a couple of spare ribs. Oh my God, it flavors the meat. You let that sit for 2 or 3 hours, pour that over lasagna, pour it over regular pasta, add meatballs to it. You know, you're cooking on a first date, you're getting the third base, and no doubt about it. Now let's say, you know, you have some really elite or very good ingredients in the refrigerator also. You have maybe this really, really, really good spice. You know, you got this really, really nice piece of lamb. You know, you got a nice piece of filet mignon. You know what? In my fridge, I got a really nice piece of salmon also. You know, even though, you know, you usually put grated cheese, I got this really, really, really aged sharp cheddar. Let me just take all this sauce and throw all these extra ingredients in there. Just because those ingredients are good means that if you put them all together, instead of keeping your sauce to the basic ingredients that make it good, that sauce, even though everything in it is top quality, will taste like shit. And that's pretty much what we got tonight, in my opinion. The Butcher and the Blade join up with Matt Hardy so they could destroy the Dark Order. So what match do we get next week? No, not the Dark Order versus the Butcher, the Blade, Private Party, and Matt Hardy. Next week, we got them against Jurassic fucking Express and Bear Country. Oh, yeah. Storyline. Yeah, I hired you to take out the Dark Order. So next week, we don't fight the Dark Order. Christian Cage, you know, the music is hitting and he doesn't come out, but instead Kenny Omega comes out. And it just went on and on and on. And then we got a little stare down confrontation, Christian Cage and Kenny Omega teasing. Then the best part, Don Callis on his promo at the beginning of the segment, that Moxley is dead, Moxley is gone, and Eddie Kingston's brain is all scrambled and everything. Just to have Eddie Kingston come out 2 minutes later, and guess what? They're wearing the same clothes that they did in the promo earlier. Omega and Eddie Kingston were cutting jokes at the beginning of the night in their promo, and Don Callis, everything he said made no sense whatsoever. The only thing I think made sense tonight is when John Moxley said that Impact Wrestling paid for the Bob Wire match. They funded it. They fund guts. Man, this show was a clusterfuck. Not to mention Lance Archer. Lance Archer is on goddamn momentum right now. Everybody's saying, I just said my most favorite wrestler in AEW. He's on momentum. He's just, don't break. Don't try to fix something that's not broken. He's doing good. He's not alive. And then what happens, it reminded me of Braun Strowman. Anybody remember when I used to do that impersonation? Braun Strowman, in that feud with Roman Reigns years ago, Braun Strowman was getting cheered, and he was the heel. And instead of letting it organically develop, after weeks and weeks and weeks, he came out and cut that promo, just like all of you, I hate Roman Reigns. Like, just forcing that he hates the fans, try to force the narrative that this guy's a full-fledged heel, and it fucked everything up. So what happens today? Sting talks again. And before Sting could say anything, Lance Archer interrupts him, and Lance Archer acts like a dick towards Sting. Lance Archer is still my favorite. Well, what the fuck was that for? Sting is one of the most popular wrestlers of all time, and you take Lance Archer, it's on momentum, and you just kind of make him turn heel. The fuck was that? Scorpio Sky, I kinda don't have a problem with it because I thought about it. When I first saw it, I'm like, why are you turning this guy heel? He's one of the most liked wrestlers on the roster. Then I thought, okay, we're probably going to see a best of seven with Scorpio Sky and Darby Allin. We're probably going to see repeat matches, a little feud. And if Scorpio Sky has to snap to explain and to intensify this little feud with Darby Allin, I'm fine with that. But this was, not only that, Christian Cage speaks tonight. He's going to speak tonight. Come on. I mean, did he fucking speak? Did I miss something? You know what my favorite part of Dynamite was today? I swear to God, you know what my favorite part of Dynamite was? Freaking Lee Johnson versus Ethan Page. I still got Ethan's heart over here, by the way. Lee Johnson versus Ethan Page. QT Marshall's in his corner. And as I'm watching this match, I hear commentary and I hear defense, defense, defense. And then, look, Ethan blocks it. Ethan runs down the court. He shoots. He scores. Ethan scores. Three-pointer. QT Marshall calls a timeout. NBA. All-Star game piped in during this? Oh, my God. This is like, God, could anything get worse today? This show tonight was a fucking mess. I realized this tonight. Some of you already know this. So you're smarter than me in a lot of ways, but I realized this tonight. Sometimes when some of you complain that I spend so much time on Dynamite doing recaps, but I spend very little time of NXT, it hit me tonight. NXT is so organized. Sometimes it's too organized. You've heard me say that before. Little disarray can't hurt anybody. But they're so organized and tight that they don't need to put 17 segments, 17 segments on their show. Every fucking person has a say. And I know what you're going to say. Well, that's good that everybody on Dynamite has a say. When... that's what you got? Like I said, Matt Hardy, your Private Party and the Butcher and the Blade. They're joining us now so we can take out Dark Order. And like I said before, they're not even fighting Dark Order next week. Have the fucking match. Then you announce that. And then next week, an unsanctioned lights out, anything goes match between Thunder Rosa and Dr. Britt Baker as the main event for Dynamite next week. I have no problem with that. I actually think Britt Baker is really improving, and it's fun to see it right before your eyes. Thunder Rosa, this is a lot of tests for Thunder Rosa, because Thunder Rosa has been on fire the last year and a half. Thunder Rosa was going so up in a lot of people's eyes that you have to keep it a little balanced. And in order to be in AEW, she had to have a big feud with Britt Baker. So you can't have this. You know what happens with this? Asuka versus Carmella. Asuka versus Carmella. Remember all that garbage? I'll have James Ellsworth get involved. And that'll kind of like bring it back to this. And then we'll put James Ellsworth in a cage. And it fucking failed. So Thunder Rosa has been adapting really nicely. And in the process, Britt Baker and her are getting some nice little gelling together. So I'm completely fine with that match. Why do I have a problem with it? Literally, a minute after it's announced, Tony Khan is on Twitter telling everybody, unsanctioned match is Sinet. You know, when I grew up and somebody had an unsanctioned match, we always had the feeling or the storyline, you know, suspension of disbelief, that the promotion doesn't approve of this fight. So we refuse to sanction it. You two want to tear yourself up, go right ahead. We're not sanctioning it. We're not putting our referees out there. We don't condone it. Tear your asses up. We will show it so we can make money off of it, but we don't sanction it. Tony Khan did the complete reverse on social media. Literally, I learned this as a kid. I don't know if you can see this. You see the drooling coming out? He's literally drooling all over the keyboard. I don't care if he's a millionaire. I mean, I appreciate his business savvy and his dedication, and he's a very smart man. But just because you're a millionaire doesn't mean that you're expert in every different field. I mean, just because you're a millionaire doesn't mean that you could beat me in Scrabble. Just because you're a millionaire doesn't mean you could beat me in an arm wrestling match. Just because you're a millionaire doesn't mean you could own a successful supermarket or a restaurant or this, this, and that. He's good in the field that he is. That doesn't mean that he's Teflon and every idea that comes out of his head is a smart one. But again, you got people out there that are so goddamn desperate for social media acknowledgement that they do not. And then the best part, and I'm not even getting into it today. The best part is, like I said before, somebody uses whole clips as a watch along. And then after the watch along, criticize it, and then it gets taken down. And I'm watching all of these people like flies to a fresh lump of shit. Oh, let's all get involved. Let's all get together and show support and this, this, and that. All to have this feeling of togetherness and acknowledgement. And guess what? That's why Tony Khan is the millionaire. And that's why, unfortunately, we're not. Like I said earlier today, I made this joke yesterday on Patreon that's starting to catch fire. Christian Shirt says, outwork everyone. I joked on my Patreon show yesterday. I said they should put a little post-it note, and next to the word out, they should put the word of. Because for all of these goofs, now you see, people I think out there don't understand. I'm not talking about regular fans that think AEW signing Christian is a bad idea. I totally respect anybody that feels that way. But when I have these more powerful people out there who are unemployed, lazy, that lie through their teeth about their entire life to feel like they are worth a thing on social media, telling Miro what he should do and not do post-WWE, saying what Sting should do and not do post-WWE, telling Christian what he should and not do post-WWE, all right? Maybe before you criticize Miro, AEW, Christian, Sting, or anybody else that finds a job outside of WWE, maybe you should look in the mirror. And when your shirt in the mirror says, out of work, everyone, not outwork everyone, out of work, everyone. Hey, everyone, I'm out of work. I don't give, big tips. I'm still fat, but I've lost 70 pounds, so I try to help some people, but I'm not going to sit here and start making fat jokes at people. I still got it. Don't give fucking employment advice. You think you know the deal simply because, you know, you want that acknowledgement. Get a job, make $1 million, show everybody you're successful. Then maybe you could give financial advice to all of these wrestlers. Hey, this is a bad idea. This guy going to AEW. Man, hey, what? You mean you go there? And look at you. I know I'm fucking around a little bit tonight. I'm a little irritated, you know? And I have nothing against these guys also. But NWA, back for the attack, back for the payday, back for the pay-per-view payday. I'm not, look, anybody that's been following the show, the 77 episodes, know how much of a supporter I am for NWA. But in my honest opinion, this pay-per-view, 2 weeks from now or whatever, $19.99, I'm not paying it. I don't even know if I'm going to watch it. Because honestly, this whole deal with this Fight TV stuff reminds me of what I said in August. Of that other promotion that they were going to do it. That's what it is. The weekly Power episodes. Hey, everybody, Power's coming back. Oh, you got to pay for it. You got to pay for it. There's no fans in attendance. And then you got to say to yourself, who's on this roster? Is it just going to be another indie group that happens to bring in people everywhere else? And they announced today that Jordan Clearwater. Yeah, all right, I'm going to order the pay-per-view now. Jordan Clearwater, he's going to be at back for the attack. All right, you know, all right, maybe that name is not that strong. Crimson. Oh, yeah. That'll get me to order it. Crimson. Maybe not. Or has this one, Slice Boogie. Boogie. Blame it on the Boogie. Boogie Nights. Oh, yeah. I closed those photos. Look, I know that there's some people out there that are uber supportive of NWA, and I respect that. But I'm going to be a little more realistic about it. Before a shitty restaurant, or a restaurant that used to be good that got really shitty and is now reopening for business with a whole bunch of new cooks, guess what? I'm going to wait for a couple of Grubhub reviews before I start investing my money in them again. I want to see what happens a month from now. Because I remember what happened in August with NWA, and it was terrible. Terrible. It's terrible. They lost a lot of names. Yes, we have to give them time to repair. Absolutely. But before I dip $20 for a pay-per-view, before I dip $5 a week or whatever, I don't even know, but before I start dropping money on NWA again, I want to see where it looks like a month from now, 2 months from now. I want to see, are they really trying to build it back, or just to get a little influx of cash, let's, you know, record 2 days and stream it over 2 months, and let's do this pay-per-view. No fans or anything else, nothing. Not even piped in noise. What are we in, June of last year? Come on, there's a lot of states vaccinated. I'm totally I know a lot of people that are fully vaccinated. Nothing? So I'm keeping it on a realistic level. So now, let's get into a few other things. First off, shout out to Sammy. Thank you very much, my friend. There's a cool little interview on Spotify if you want to check it out. 10 questions with Kyle Brandt, and he interviewed Pat McAfee. And a lot of it's about wrestling. So I'm sure you probably aren't even aware of it. Maybe you are. But he sent it over to me asking me to plug the show. He's involved with the show. So I just wanted to make mention of that. Impact Wrestling. Okay? Check this out. Title versus title. Rich Swann or Moose? In my opinion, 6 weeks too late. 6 weeks too late. Kenny Omega wins that belt. It's not popping any numbers for Impact Wrestling anymore. The bloom is off the rose. You know, I brought this up last week. Impact Wrestling dropped to 144,000 viewers last week, I think. I'm pretty sure it was around 134. This week they went up. It went up by 10,000 viewers. So what they expected was that when Kenny Omega showed up and Tony Khan was cutting promos, I still don't understand why Tony Khan is cutting these promos now. I don't understand. Why now? I mean, I understand it's payback for the Good Brothers being on TV and this and that, but when this was early on, when Kenny Omega first showed up and they were doing those things, do you remember when Rich Swann was banging on the RV or whatever that was? This motherfucker, it's not his fault, it's a storyline. This douchebag doesn't show up on Dynamite to try to go after Kenny Omega. Nobody from Impact Wrestling shows up on Dynamite to try to go after nothing. Nothing for 2 months. Zero. Zilch. Now I'm supposed to give a shit that Rich Swann is taking on Kenny Omega? No, it's too late. All of those appearances early on, you got a lot of AEW fans that checked out Dynamite, Impact. Oh, let me check it out. Let me see what it's about. And you know what? When they're checking it out, they're also seeing Jordynne Grace, Deonna Purrazzo. They're seeing Crazy Steve and Moose and everybody else. And guess what? After they got their fill of seeing their AEW stars on Impact Wrestling, none of the Impact Wrestling's roster got any of those fans to stick around. And guess what? If at this point some AEW fans are still checking on Impact, that means that some of your Impact Wrestling fans left. Sorry. I know I come off as a jerk sometimes, but like I said, you know, a lot of people out there, they will gush about these promotions just for the attention and this, you know, this that support and everything like that. And that's probably why I don't get love from, I don't get free stuff to give all you people. I don't get like pay-per-view codes for any of you. I don't get, the only thing I get are DMs from some wrestlers sometimes. Hey man, keep telling it like it is. And that's what keeps me going. But realistically, NWA, you know, earn our return. Back for the attack. No, it doesn't go that way. You got to earn it. Got to earn it back. Right now, it just feels like, oh, let's get a little influx of money through a pay-per-view. This way, we kind of like use that money to try to, like, you know, maybe, like, you know, start paying for the rental for this, and maybe we could do this and this and that. That's what it feels like, a pay-per-view grab. Honestly, in my opinion, and I know this is unpopular, I think 99.9% of you out there, whether you say it publicly or you keep it to yourself, 99.9% of you out there feel that if NWA was coming back and coming back with a roar, you fucking put it out there for free first, and you start getting those fans back into the NWA mode, and then you do the pay-per-view. You fucking do the pay-per-view before? I remember, and this is a story I told a long time ago, when I was in my early 20s, I worked for a restaurant called The Ground Round that used to be located on Queens Boulevard, right across the street from these courthouses, those infamous courthouses where Gotti got caught, you know, convicted for life and all that. And when I worked there, the place had never opened yet. They had other locations, but this one was going to be a grand opening. So what do they do to get people in the neighborhood to want to go to this place? They did like two or three nights where people were invited from the neighborhood, family of workers. They were allowed to go and eat for free. And all of the workers would pretty much, that was their rehearsal. You know, I worked in restaurant before. Other people worked it. They knew what they were doing. But this was an introduction or a reintroduction to the neighborhood that, hey, for two times, we're going to have free dining. Come in, check out our menu, see what we got. Check out the new items. We got this, we got that. Check out our service. And then when we open for full business, then hopefully we get your patronage back. NWA didn't do any of that. Right smack, give me money, and we'll come back. That's what it feels like. Guess what? No, thank you. No, thank you. That reminds me of a prostitute. I know that's kind of extreme, but if I want to get laid and there's no, you know, meat around, all right, you know, the only way I'm going to get laid is if I dump money in it. You want me to bang you? Give me money. You want us to come back? Give us money. Earn it. Earn it. So, NXT tonight announced that we were going to have two nights of NXT TakeOver. Night one will be April 7th on a Wednesday. That is night one of NXT TakeOver. Night two will be the next day on Peacock, exclusively on Peacock. So this year, two nights in a row, NXT TakeOver. I love it. I love it. I can't wait for it. I want to see what AEW tries to put up against that. Now, that was the first announcement that William Regal gave tonight. The second announcement, as we said earlier, and I totally flubbed it. You know what? I'm not going to lie, man. Seriously. That's on me. I'm not going to make it work to everybody. You know, usually when I play video clips of shows I do before, what I do is I download the whole show. And then what I do is I go into my video editing program and I cut out the only part that I want to stream for all of you. I save it as a new video file and then I play it, just like intros and everything else. Tonight, I thought it was a brain scheme idea that I'll just link to my YouTube channel and just hit play and do it that way. And it didn't work. See what happens when you try to take shortcuts. Yours truly tried to take a shortcut tonight. I sincerely apologize. I thought it would work. It didn't work. It was not intentional. I don't like fucking up things. But that's why you didn't get the audio earlier. But William Regal has all the women on stage. He calls Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez to the ring. And based on what happened last week in their tag title match, he reveals, man, that was awfully quick to get belts like that in 5 days because they don't work on Sunday. New NXT tag team champions, they're awarded to Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez. Obviously, they're very emotional. They cut a heel promo. This brings Shotzi Blackheart and Ember Moon to the ring. They issued a challenge. Why don't you defend those belts tonight? And they did. They accepted a challenge. We had a fun match. And in the end, Shotzi Black, yeah, a lot of roll-ups tonight. Darby Allin won with the small package. Ember Moon won with a little cradle. You know, she reminded me of Tito Santana, you know, and you pin, you go backwards. I like that. But Big T is asking, since we're talking about NXT, where is Michael Nakazawa? Right now, he's probably in his hotel room sleeping. It's 11 o'clock at night. A lot of those wrestlers like to go to sleep early. I know that's not what you meant. You see him on Dark once in a while. Michael Nakazawa does a lot of work behind the scenes for AEW. You'd be surprised. That guy works his ass off. So I'm a little annoyed that they haven't used Michael Nakazawa more. That's just me. But so we have your... and by the way, I will get into the card later of TNA Sacrifice. I know we mentioned the title versus title thing, but, you know, obviously that's not taking place this weekend. Moose and Rich Swann have to have their match first. And based on the outcome of that match, we will determine who will face Kenny Omega. You know, I don't think it's going to be Moose versus Kenny Omega. By the way, if it looks like that I am sweating balls, today it was like 60. And overnight it's warmer, so I have lights everywhere going. I thought the blue light would kind of like maybe take the heat off. Didn't work. My glasses are still all smoky and everything. Soon we're going to have to... Yeah, we'll talk about Molly Holly tomorrow. You know, Wednesdays is pretty much everything but Raw or SmackDown. But then again, since Molly is not on Raw or SmackDown, you know, good for her. She definitely deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. Wonderful woman. I got to meet her a couple of times. I actually worked a show in Long Island for VPW, and she was there on the card as well. It might be the night that I was handcuffed also. We have more handcuffs tonight. More freaking handcuffs. More handcuffs. But, yeah, no, we'll talk about that tomorrow. You know, a lot of people are kind of torn about having two Hall of Fame ceremonies, you know, in 1 year. I'll give you my thoughts tomorrow. Molly is, yeah, she is very attractive. Long hair, short hair, no hair. But she is really, I mean, like I said, I met her 3 times. And, you know, I got to share a locker room with her once. And she was very, very sweet. Very nice to everyone. you know, she obviously was a, you know, a nice big star for WWE, not necessarily as much in WCW, but you would have never known it when you hung around her. She was just down to earth like anyone else. Wonderful person. Wonderful person. So we got that match for the tag titles. And again, as I said, Ember Moon and Shotzi Blackheart won. Very good match. You know, keep in mind, Shotzi, Ember Moon, Dakota Kai, Raquel Gonzalez have had quite a few matches against each other in different forms over the last 6 months. So what you saw tonight is not much different than what you've seen before. But after Shotzi and Ember Moon won, very, very emotional and deservingly so. By the way, there's a funny little clip. If you go back and watch NXT, when Shotzi and Ember Moon were coming through the curtain and all the women were congratulating them, and, except for Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell, who were like, oh. Go look at that clip again. You see Shawn Michaels like trying to hide, so you didn't see him in the camera as well. I don't know who was next to him. It was either Adam Pearce or Triple H. I know whoever it was bald. But, yeah, it was real emotion. I don't do these shows to make friends other than all of you out there, podcast friends. You know, I do this to be honest. And, you know, thank God you all kind of like, you know, what I do. And I love interacting with all of you out there. But I'm not going to sugarcoat stuff just to be go along with everyone else out there. I watched those tears tonight, and I swear to you, I know this might sound a little cheesy, but when I watch Ember Moon crying, she made a little remark at the very end. I didn't hear exactly what it was, but I guarantee you that that was a general statement towards all the people that have been criticizing the shit out of her for the last 6 months that just have nothing good to say. You know, those people that, oh, we all should just get along. That was real emotion. And when I'm watching them shed tears, I'm saying to myself, I'm thinking of all these people that were saying, these titles are stupid. The NXT tag titles, why are we having more belts? That doesn't make sense. It's meaningless. It's meaningless. Meaningless. Tell them that it's meaningless. Tell all the women on their roster that it's meaningless. I'm no, you know, like poster boy for women or men or the good or evil. I'm just a fucking human being. I work in a company. I like to strive for things. I do this stuff. I want to strive for things. Tell those that whole roster that, you know, those titles that they're going for is meaningless. And then you tell them, what did should they go for instead? What? The brass panties? The brass engagement ring? The brass what? The titles are meaningless. Tell them. Well, okay, genius. Miro shouldn't work for AEW. Where should he work? What should he do? Wash windows? Should he go clean houses again? Christian spends years to try to get back to wrestling because he loves it so much and doesn't want to be without it. Finally gets in shape, has an unbelievable performance at the Royal Rumble. WWE says, yeah, we really don't have any like room for you right now. And he goes to AEW. Oh, that's stupid. It makes no sense. WWE, they're turning into TNA with cast-offs again. Well, why don't you say where he should go instead? Seriously. He's a stockbroker? Should he work at the Ground Round? Should he podcast? Don't tell... Again, keep your opinions to yourself, these people. Or, here's a challenge. Here's a challenge. Maybe you could do this for Lent, what's left of it. When you think something is stupid, maybe you give the solution. Okay. You think this doesn't make sense? What would you do? What would you do? Oh, I don't get paid to do that. I don't get paid to do that. All right. Io Shirai versus Toni Storm. Fun match. Fun match. Outcome was very predictable. Toni Storm, really talented. She hasn't been on the main roster for a long period of time. This is basically the stop before TakeOver. We talked about it last year when we talked about WrestleMania matches. You know, I like Fastlane. But unfortunately for a lot of people out there, they don't understand that Fastlane is like the bump in the road. It's like the detour, like this road work going on. Like you're cruising. You're on a highway. You're going to some place. You're going to a casino. You're going to wherever. You're going to see friends. You're going drive, and you're just at 65 miles an hour, full speed ahead. Can't wait to get going. Road to WrestleMania, straight there. And there's all abrupt stop, traffic, road work. Fuck. We couldn't just go fast lane. Remember a couple of years ago when Kofi was going for the heavyweight title, and then they tried to do that storyline where he would lose his title opportunity. And I remember the New Day posted a video, and Big E says, maybe we should take our work somewhere else. And you had to see overwhelmingly how much of social media thought that was legit. That storyline was the bump in the road. Road work ahead. You're going to have to stop for a little while. You know, maybe we'll stop, go get Dunkin' Donuts, take a leak, stretch our legs, and then it's back to the road to WrestleMania. Io Shirai's match with Toni Storm today was that rest stop. The match was phenomenal, but there was no question Io Shirai was going to retain. Toni Storm is amazing in that ring. I know some people are going to be like, when I say this. I think NXT Women's Division need a secondary title. I agree. There are too many belts in wrestling. But Io Shirai has a stranglehold on that title. Jordan Devlin / Santos Escobar have the NXT North American Championship. We need a title like that for women. For the Toni Storms. For the Raquel Gonzalez in the meantime. For the Mercedes Martinez, for the Xia Li. Do anybody feel right now that Xia Li has any chance of winning the NXT Women's Championship? No, not really. Even though everything has been awesome. It's either this title or nothing. And trust me, she's not going to team up with Boa to go for the tag belts. So I personally think they need a secondary title for those women that aren't going to get that opportunity to be heavyweight champion. You mean to tell me you would have a problem if Toni Storm had a secondary title right now in NXT? Again, see, let me say it like this. I agree 1,000% that there are too many belts in wrestling. But that's what happens when you want to have 50-50 airtime with men and women. The men always had 90% of the belts. Now the women get a lot more airtime, and deservingly so. We have the most talented women's wrestling in my lifetime. There were some very talented women that I saw growing up as a kid, a teenager, 20s, 30s. We'll stop there. But now, when you think of Impact, and you think of AEW, you think of Ring of Honor, and you think of NXT, you think of Japanese talent, this is the best women's wrestling I've ever seen in my lifetime. Well, guess what? If there's more of a balance, you still can't have the men have 70 or 80% of the titles. That's what you get. There's too many belts. Yeah. Oh, don't give a belt to a woman because there's too many titles. How's about taking a title away from the men's side? Get rid of a title. What would you get rid of? Would you get rid of the United States Championship? Would you get rid of the IC title? Would you get rid of the NXT North American Championship? Shit, I just realized they got the Cruiserweight title also. Three singles titles. Technically four if you want to count Jordan Devlin and Santos Escobar separate. The women have won. Anyway, I sincerely apologize to all my friends out there who are nice enough to send some super chats. I want to get some shout outs. Dayhawk, AEW. What happened, Dayhawk, tonight was, I think the NBA had the All-Star game. It was on the Turner Networks. Everything is controlled in the same production booth. As far as the main center of the network. And what happened was somebody mixed in two audio channels at the same time. That's what happened. You know, they mixed two channels. So we were hearing basketball. We were hearing MC stuff, and unfortunately with the wrestling. But look, it's bad luck. But you know what? It was a production mistake. It was not AEW's fault. It's not when it rains, it pours after the fiasco on Sunday. But that's what happened. But I was laughing and enjoying it. Like, I was just picturing, you know, honestly, I was picturing, like, the announcer from the Knicks. Not the color commentators, but the announcers. And I was like, Ethan Page! Like, that's what I wanted to hear, you know. But like Lee Johnson, you know, when if anybody's ever seen a Knick game, anything to do with an all the teams, but you ever see a Knick game and the opposing team gets a basket and the announcer will go, Lee Johnson. And then the home team, three-pointer, Ethan Page. Lee Johnson. Three-pointer, Lee Johnson. I was enjoying it tonight. I was enjoying it tonight. Puffy 89 Omega Cage to go up against the first night of TakeOver. I could see that happening. I could see that happening. Look, I know some people are very upset that Christian Cage picked up the AEW title and pondered for a minute. I would have popped if he went like this. But let's see what he could do in the ring. If the guy kicks ass in the ring, win or loss, if he kicks ass in the ring and can still go, isn't that what matters? I mean, the Kenny Omega, who are you going to feud with him next? I agree, Eddie Kingston. I agree, Eddie Kingston. But you got to go beyond that because you see what AEW does. They're all over the place. They're all over the place. Rey Fénix suddenly is no longer, you know, the Lucha Bros. You know, Rey Fénix now is Pac. And Penta, my God, that promo that Penta cut tonight on Cody was awesome. They're having a match next week. They're already blowing their load on that. I would have built that up 2-3 weeks. I would have even done it at this time. I would have added that match. Oh, wait, that's night two. Excuse me. Faux pas galore tonight. I would have had them do it April 7th. It's only a couple of weeks from now. Cleric of Chaos says, I've been hitting the gym. Great gains, brother. No, I it's fat muscles. I'm not been at the gym. I'm just slowly trying to see my new water bottle tonight. I'll have to drink two of these tonight. So I'm just trying to, you know, get healthy. It's going to take me a couple of years, but, you know, especially if I return doing indie managing stuff and have an occasional match here and there, I plan on going back to school, you know, and try to, like, learn a couple of things. I'm not going to just walk in. But I don't even know if that's happening, but I'm not doing it for that. But, you know, if I do it, I want to be 1,000 times better than what I was before. But thank you, Cleric. I appreciate that. Crazy Cruiserweight says, lazy way of getting Io Shirai versus Raquel Gonzalez. Well, that hasn't been announced yet, my friend. You know, we got NXT TakeOver. That is, what, about 4 weeks from now? There's going to be a lot of buildup to that. So let's see what transpires on TV. Again, I think the fact that Raquel and Dakota only had those belts an hour is because there's going to be a change in that team. And again, I don't want to say it for the 10th time, but they were given the belts instead of just having a vacant match with the two teams fighting for the first ever inaugural women's titles. They wanted Raquel and Dakota Kai to be the first two women. You can never take that away. Never take that away. And honestly, I know it kind of sucks that they lost the belts in an hour. But you know what? For me, if I had any worth in an indie wrestling company, indie, I'm not saying TV, indie, and somebody said to me, hey, you know, we want to put you and blah, blah, blah as the first ever tag champions, but you're going to lose it in an hour. Or we'll have it vacant and you'll lose it and you won't even be in the record books. Well, which one would you rather have? Put me down, man. I'm the first. They can never take that away. So that's how I look at it. Also, when I was chanting defense during an Ethan Page match, yeah, he could change his hair color, have five different gimmicks, and crazy. Still not a Sean Spears fan. Look, you know, Sean Spears is Sean Spears. You know, I mean, it did not work when he first came into AEW. They are giving it another shot. He's under contract. You know, let's see what happens. I'll tell you the truth. I'll tell you why I actually have no problem with what they did tonight with Sean Spears being involved in that. Sean Spears should not be on his own where all the focus is on him, manager or no manager. By him being part of a group, you know, a lot of the focus gets shifted away. So honestly, I think Sean Spears with the other guys is better than Sean Spears being by himself. Rain Entertainment. What's up, Rain? Any update on my pops? Yeah, I took him to the heart doctor. He is doing okay. He had a little bit of a setback. He was told not to drive for 6 weeks. He drove last week. And I mentioned this on one of the other shows. You know, anyone out there that drives, you'd be surprised. Even when you're going down the road, you go like this, you go like that. Somebody beeps the horn, you go like this. That sudden jerks, he had crazy, crazy-ass pain. I go to their house every Tuesday and every Saturday, sometimes Sunday too. But I stay there Tuesday nights, and while I was there yesterday, he didn't pick up a six-pack of diet soda. He didn't pick up a 10-pack of diet soda. You know those suitcases that you buy of the diet? He picked up a suitcase, like 20-fucking-something can. I said, what are you, nuts? The guy just doesn't have a pause button. And I'm begging him, please, you don't want any setbacks, man. I mean, I have held back from showing the picture of him shirtless. I showed it for 2 seconds on Patreon a couple of weeks ago. I kind of regretted it after because I thought it was too personal. But he sliced from here all the way down. I mean, it was major heart surgery. And this guy doesn't know any pause button, and he's got to because we want him to stay around. We want him to stay around. Reigns' issue is not adding the belts. It's the lack of effort and attention creative puts into them. WWE had three brands with the women's tag belts, and they barely have a division. I agree with you there. But I look at the NXT women's division, and again, I go with what I said before. On the main roster, you have the Raw Women's Championship and the SmackDown Women's Championship. You have two titles and two different brands. Also, you go back and watch NXT tonight. When Ember Moon and Shotzi Blackheart walked through the curtain and were cheered by all those women, look how many women were there. They don't have seven women on their roster. You look at the Raw roster or the SmackDown Women's roster, it is tiny compared to NXT. And NXT has some uber-talented women. Again, I bring up the women I said before, and I'm leaving out crazy-ass number of women. You know, they have no title to go for except for Io's. And Io is at the top of a game. Why would you change that? So having these tag titles now can really allow some women to get some recognition that they deserve. And honestly, I know you deserve it is a very watered down statement these days. But truthfully, like I said, you saw those tears today. It's not just about we made history as far as like women's movement. Women have been getting praise and love and satisfaction. There's always going to be trolls, jealous trolls. But it's more of, you know, we reached and got something. And, you know, that's what you fight for. You want to be the representative. So that's look, I have no problem for anybody that disagrees. J.C. Moyer, that loser deserves her strikes. Cry me a river. Who strikes? Who are you talking about? Please do not super chat, but you got to elaborate. You know, when you write something like that, super chat, you could write 2-3 sentences. You don't have to just write one sentence. What is he talking about? That loser deserves her strikes. Cry me a river. I'm curious who he was talking about. But again, don't super chat. I want to see exactly who he was talking about. Shout out to everybody live, by the way, from Southern Love to Devin and Austin and Sam and Smoking Hydro, Ted Turner. Oh, Ted Turner's hanging out tonight. David Levy. It's a 24-pack. I thought it was a 20-pack. 24-pack. I don't know if J.C. Moyer is still with us tonight. I was curious who he was talking about. So this way I could either politely disagree or agree with him. The cinema AEW thing? I don't have too much of a problem with it. But are you talking about the Maki Ito stuff? Yeah, I know, Chad. How dare women succeed in wrestling? You know, they love, you know, when their favorite is a champion. Imagine that. Imagine if there was no secondary title and their favorite had no chance of getting a belt. You would hear them every week. We need a secondary belt. We need this. We need that. We need this. But J.C. Moore, I still don't know what you mean as far as women with cinema. The Maki Ito stuff earlier, though. Look at that with the microphone. Again, that, I let it go. You know, she's having fun. And, you know, in Japan, when you watch the Japanese matches, there's a lot of comedy mixed in with it as well. But, man, I saw a boatload of people today that will run in a second to post wrestle crap or miss spots. None of them. I'm sure someone by now will post something. And then when they see that that person is not getting castrated, lambasted, then they'll post it. Then they'll, it's safe. I won't get eaten alive and spit out for criticizing Maki Ito. Oh, man. AS7607, watching the show while he's in the hospital. He might have COVID. I don't mean to sound like a jerk. You're in a hospital. I would think within 15 minutes, wait a minute. I know what you're saying. I was thinking hospital bed. You're in the hospital right now in the waiting room. Oh, man. I tell you, if you have COVID, this is probably a better time to get it compared to a year ago. They have a lot of treatments that really, really kick its ass. I mean, we still have a lot of positive COVID tests going on, but the hospitalization rate is going down quite a bit. And I seriously, chat or no chat, I really, truly, you're in my thoughts, man. And I know everybody in the chat right now is saying the same thing. You know, I hope maybe by the end of the show or tomorrow, or you want to email me, dontony@dontony.com. Let me know how everything turned out. I guarantee you, because we're all family here, and that's not just a catchphrase. I'm sure some people are going to ask tomorrow, say, you know, did you ever find out about, you know, AS7607, 7607, is he okay? So please keep us updated. So, no, seriously, you're in good hands. You're in good hands. Whatever the doctors tell you to do, you do. So, and if it's not COVID and it's a cold or, you know, flu or something like that, you know, kick its ass and, you know, get back to normal. So J.C. Moyer, sorry for not explaining. She was the one going to Tony Khan and AEW. Oh. You mean this person? I was prepared. This is the person that everybody's talking about on social media. I'm telling you, everyone, I'm not trying to be a jackass, but you see all the white knights, you come into her aid instead of, you know, looking into like, okay, she wasn't just playing like a 2-3 second clip. She was putting full length clips on her YouTube channel and members only stuff, by the way, as well. And it's not even, listen. I know some people really mean well for her. And it is a little bit of a dick move. This is straight up. It's a little bit of a dick move for WWE or AEW or anyone else to pull stuff on YouTube. I told you, the intro to AEW Heels, when you saw Brandy Shoes walking across when they first hyped it, I played that clip. And I've told you before. And after like 2-3 months, I got a alert that they claimed rights to the music in the background. So I could give them the $2.88 that I was making on it, or I muted it. I'm like, fuck it. I muted it. I didn't tweet about it. I didn't say, hey, everybody, look at me. I'm a victim. She doesn't have 100,000 subscribers there other than Super Chats. Do you know how much I make on these episodes outside of Super Chats? I'm not lying. $3, $7, $4. So when you see this, and I'm not defending her, and I'm not criticizing her, but when you see that take my ad revenue, why don't you ask how much the ad revenue is? A dollar? That was about, everybody look at me. Look what the evil billionaire did to my YouTube channel. It wasn't a copyright strike. It's just that they claimed the rights to it. Members only. Look at this full-length AEW clip. And you have all these white knights coming to her aid. Trust me. And I don't care who I piss off. If she had testicles and a beard, you'd have a lot of those same people saying, like, you know, you shouldn't be playing full-length clips. You know, you shouldn't be doing that. Even though it's dick move by Tony Khan, you shouldn't be doing that. That's how I feel about it. I learned my lesson once that I can't play clips, plain and simple. You know, and my advice to her, and this is sincere. My advice to her is, and I've been doing this since 97, my advice to her is two things. You get more bees with honey. And trust me, you get bigger. You want to have companies being a little copacetic towards you. You want to play, you know, the anti-militant and to get all that Twitter support, and you think you're going to get all these crazy subscribers over it. Those people are not going to come to your aid at the risk of themselves. And the second thing is that if you're talking about the inner, let's, for example, you're talking about the explosions from Sunday. We've all seen it. We know what it looks like. We know what it sounds like. We know how ridiculous it is. Do not play footage of it. You're not going to lose any subscribers because you played footage. Put a screenshot or do a montage of still shots. Still shot, still shot, still shot, still shot. If people didn't see it, you have the still shot, you're not going to have any trouble. But by poking this guy, you'll get about 500 people on social media. You tell Tony Khan off, fuck that greedy son of a bitch. The hell with this. And what's it going to do? What's it going to do? When you cover these things in the future, you don't want to be on no ban list. You don't want to be banished. You don't want to, you know, don't do it. Don't do it. A freaking pair of heels walking by a screen and I got hit. So I took the audio down. Fine, no problem. No problem. That's it. It's the way it is. Yes, AEW can use Tessa Isaac. But I tell you, you know, let's be honest. The women's division AEW the last couple of weeks has been on an uptick. They're focusing on only a handful of women. I really can't complain too much about the AEW women's division right now, but everything else is a scattered mess. It's a scattered mess. Matt Hardy with Butcher and Blade. What did he do? Did he make a deal with Eddie Kingston? What happened?
Why, what does Eddie Kingston have to say about this? Oh, we don't go that deep in a storyline. Lance Archer interrupts Sting. Christian, he speaks. Everybody, look. Do you see why I didn't put in the title of tonight's show, Christian Speaks, Christian Talks? I just wrote Christian. Because they've done it too many times with Sting. Tonight, this week, in 5 days, next week, tomorrow, Sting, he's going to talk. He speaks. He's going to talk to Tony Schiavone. What are we going to get as an excuse tomorrow? Oh, the reason why Christian didn't speak is because, we were going to have him talk, but we sent Kenny Omega out there instead because defense. Defense. I don't have sound effects. I was going to do it, but man, it was sloppy shit. My prayers are with you again, AS7607. Mr. Stony Loney, I don't want to know, but I hope you got laid the other night. Just saying. Listen, says TV Tracks. Much love, my friend. Anybody that was live Monday, we had a storyline within a storyline in the chat room. It was actually pretty funny. So, and look, I appreciate all the support. Helps me pay the bills. Helps me do things on the show, invest, But, like the scene in Goodfellas when they did the Lufthansa heist. Everybody got their cut. Remember when Robert De Niro, Ray Liotta, and Joe Pesci, they went into the separate room. I think Paulie was there too, and they gave him this cut. I took care of Mish also. Didn't do it yet, but I will. So, I guess we should start speeding this up a little bit because we're 90 minutes in, but, we're going back and forth, if you notice. Like I said, I don't do match by match by match by match by match. I do an overview. And I'll go back and forth. Sometimes I'll bring in both shows together. And based on what I say, if you haven't watched the shows, that maybe will swerve you or steer you. Steer would be the right way to word. Steer you in the direction of maybe watching something or maybe not watching something. We have a conversation. And wherever it goes, it goes. Pete Dunne over Jake Atlas. Not much there. Jake Atlas, unfortunately, has really fallen off the radar. Jake Atlas, Everise, few of them. They've just fallen off the radar. That's again, I know I've said this before, but that's the number one reason why I get into the quarter hour ratings. You do it every week. You see the trends. Even the Grizzly Young Veterans, the Pippets, Even their segment tonight, it really was pretty much more about MSK returning. And then you had Brazongo fucking with Legado del Fantasma a little bit and this and that. But they did that same quarter hour last week with the Everise stuff. I don't know if anybody noticed that. The next to last quarter, NXT, more times than not, puts the bullshit segment. This is the bullshit quarter hour. This is where we may have a match, but we'll have interference, or it may not be a match at all, or it'll be a total clusterfuck. Not for nothing. To hear, albeit a small couple of dozen fans, to hear fans tonight go, Phantasma, Phantasma, Legado, Legado. I kept thinking to myself, it was 2 weeks ago, when they got their asses kicked by Karrion Kross. Why are fans cheering these people? Oh, I get it. Because WWE thought, let's put them against the Grizzly Young Veterans. That quarter hour sucked. As always. Imperium pre-tape message. Trying to recruit Timothy Thatcher. They got a feud with somebody. Obviously, Ciampa will be involved in that as well. Next week, I'll tell you, next week's matches look very, very light on NXT side. Next week, you have Leon Ruff versus Isaiah Swerve Scott. Next week, we have, I wrote it down. We have next week, LA Knight is going to have a match. Went at it with Bronson Reed a little bit tonight because of what happened last week. They didn't announce Bronson Reed versus LA Knight, so I don't know what's going to happen. Cameron Grimes has suddenly disappeared with his money. Next week, Dexter Lumis versus Austin Theory. And what they did tonight was, when right after they showed the women backstage, Austin Theory was with Gargano and LeRae and Hartwell, Indy, and he's so angry at Dexter Lumis, he tears his shirt off. Next week, they're going to have a match. Now, I find it dumb and stupid, and I hope that they reconsider and try to, like, put this in the storyline next week. You have social media. You cannot do that where Austin Theory has no idea in storyline, has no idea after 1 week that Johnny Gargano did, he has no idea that Gargano paid off the doctor. You understand what I'm saying? When you have social media and you have segments on NXT where people see the footage and then they react the next week, you can't act like Austin Theory is now locked in a cellar with no internet access, so he has no idea. So I kind of find that really stupid. I think there's going to be a twist next week with that. We'll see what happens. Now, that's what they announced on NXT side. On AEW side, they announced, this is pretty, look, as bad as, and as much of a mess as Dynamite was tonight, next week doesn't sound all that bad. Jurassic Express and Bear Country versus Matt Hardy, Private Party, Butcher and Blade. I already talked why that's stupid, but the match will probably be okay. Cody versus Penta, which will be phenomenal, and I hope that continues. Jade Cargill will be wrestling. As I said earlier, Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa, unsanctioned lights out match. And John Moxley and Eddie Kingston versus the Good Brothers. So that's actually a pretty stacked card, but you know, you could kind of feel like AEW and NXT are trying to ramp up the quality of people, and there's more being advertised in advance on NXT side. Again, I truly believe NXT really deserves to beat AEW in the ratings this week. Even if there was a spectacular explosion on Sunday, I just liked NXT 1,000 times more this week than last week. You could feel NXT starting to build, like Austin says, build up steam. Yes, we're on the road to WrestleMania. And yes, they might move to Tuesday nights. It's not a defeat by NXT in any way. I tell you the truth. You know what I would love? Seriously? This is, you remember Roman Reigns? He had the split screen with Kevin Owens. Roman Reigns told off Kevin Owens and pissed him off. And Kevin Owens, when he got mad and finally was about to say something, Roman Reigns hit the remote control, cut him off the screen. That is ultimate. That is epic for yours truly. Because me, I'm one of those, I got to get the last word. And when I get the last word and I think that I own something, I hit that proverbial remote. I don't give the other person a chance to say something. And that irritates them 1,000 times more. I would love to see NXT beat AEW in the ratings maybe 2 of the next 4 or 5 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks, and then go to Tuesdays. And this way, towards the end, people will say, you know what? NXT's been the better show the last couple of weeks, and the ratings are reflecting that. And look, they didn't even need to go to Tuesday nights. That's how you keep the momentum. And look, I don't wish ill on AEW. The more competition, the more they're supposed to amp it up, and better for us as wrestling fans. I want to enjoy everything. So, just to wrap up the NXT discussion for today, Xia Li versus Kayden Carter. Kayden Carter had more offense than I expected her to get, but Casey Catanzaro causes the DQ. She hits Xia Li a couple of times with the crutch, and then Boa hits the ring. Boa catches the crutch, breaks it in half,
But it's still, you know, had to get that one shot, you know. So, you know, what I've noticed, we've talked about Reginald. Boa gets the shot and Casey and Kanan Carter, you know, limp, you know, away. I don't know where they were limping to because Tian Sha was on the rampway. I like when she goes like this. Seriously. I wish that I had somebody in the background when I want, like, you know, like, I obviously can't physically do it because I get arrested, but, you know, it's nice to verbally finish some people sometimes. Like, you just, like, telling somebody off. And I wish there was a Tian Sha behind me that just, I look and just grab the heart, rip it out. That's it. Jordan Devlin, told you. Told you 2 weeks ago, give it 2 weeks. Jordan Devlin, right on point. The travel ban's been lifted. Jordan Devlin will be there as early as next week to confront Santos Escobar. Don't know if they'll milk it to take over, but Jordan Devlin is going to reclaim sole possession of the Cruiserweight Championship. Santos Escobar was the interim. So there's the shift. So Santos Escobar and Karrion Kross, that's done. That's done. Nice Zoe Stark package. I like that they're putting a lot of attention on Zoe Stark. I'm really liking that. I really appreciate that. Carryover from Monday. Some people know why this, you know, Anthony, if I was Stoney Loney, you know, I hope you two are real friends in real life, because if I was Stoney Loney, I'd be like, who is this mother? You know, me, I'll just sit back. I'll just sit back and watch it, you know? But, yeah, it's all good fun, man. Much love, Anthony or Nut. So Jordan Devlin is coming back. We have Legado del Fantasma versus the Grisa de Veterans. And basically what happens is we think Brizango is coming down the ring because they got their astronaut outfits. And the Grizzled Young Veterans, they get distracted. And sure enough, Legado del Fantasma rolls up one of them and they win. They defeat the Grizzled Young Veterans who need the Grizzled Old Dentist. Their teeth are all fucked up. Not green or, you know, CM Punk color, but fucked up. And they reveal, they take the astronauts' heads off to reveal that it's MSK. That's why I'm wearing their colors tonight, show a little support. And then, you know, you have like Legado del Fantasma laughing because MSK is back and they get a little revenge on the Grizzled Young Veterans. Why do I always have to say it like that? Grizzled Young Veterans. Grizzled Young Veterans. Little receipt, little payback for the injury angle 2 weeks earlier. And then out of nowhere, here comes Brizango, and they beat the shit out of Legado del Fantasma. So, nice little sub, you know, not really storyline, but a little sub, you know, time for some of these guys. You know, it's not really going to dent much in the ratings department. Main event, Adam Cole comes this close to beating Finn Balor for the NXT Heavyweight Championship, but falls short. Excellent match. These guys just tear it up. You know, Adam Cole, I know what people have said over the years. He's got to be a little bulkier and this and that. Guy is just fucking money. That guy, and I know Moxley definitely deserves it, but for me, my choice of wrestler of the year for 2020 was Adam Cole. Adam Cole, there was one point that guy just, it felt like, put NXT on my shoulders and I'll carry it. I mean, obviously, a lot of people were working hard, but Adam Cole is just special. And it was an awesome match. And, you know, even outside the ring, seeing Finn Balor with the 1916 outside the ring and, you know, the Canadian Destroyer towards the very end of that match. And yes, David Levy, we brought it up before. He brought it up now. Something that always should be reminded. Britt Baker's improvement, a lot of that credit goes to her, obviously. She's the one putting in the hours, more than you can imagine. But a boatload of that credit also should go to Adam Cole. She's got
talk about an awesome trainer. I mean, just picture that. Imagine you dating someone and you're both in the same profession and your significant other happens to be like one of the greatest in your profession. You know, man, that's an awesome teacher to have. Awesome teacher to have. But towards the end of the match, Adam Cole acts like he saw a ghost. Kyle O'Reilly is there. And I guess being distraught about the Undisputed Era breaking up and Adam Cole turning, I guess that's what causes disheveled extra long hair, a little bit of mess in the shaving department, kind of like disheveled look, half-cut jacket and shirt. And he's just staring right through Adam Cole. Adam Cole loses. Finn Balor's like, there you go. And Kyle O'Reilly hits the ring. And at one point, Adam Cole is begging. He's on his knees. And for a moment, it kind of looked like it might be the repeat of what happened with Roderick Strong with the low blow. I was hoping we'd get the opposite. I was hoping where Adam Cole begs and Kyle O'Reilly hugs Adam Cole, but Kyle O'Reilly nails Adam Cole with the low blow. But Kyle O'Reilly beats the fuck out of Adam Cole. We got to see where this goes. It looks like right now it'll just be one-on-one. I don't know where Roderick Strong will fall into this unless they, you know, have Bobby Fish come back. I don't know if he's ready to return. Maybe it's a four-way, Undisputed Era, four-way. O'Reilly versus Fish versus Cole, you know, versus Strong. But just when you think we're going off the air, they have the camera right close up to Balor. Adam Cole's already going up the rampway. Kyle O'Reilly, the refs are trying to hold him back. Cole gets out of dodge. O'Reilly ends up going in back, and they have the close up on Balor. And you know someone is behind Balor. And Balor's like, what took you so long? Balor turns around and Karrion Kross is in his face. And let me tell you something. If I had a genie come out of the lamp right now and talk like the grizzled young veterans, like, I'm the genie of the lamp, give you three wishes, what would you choose? One of them might be, give me a physique like Finn Balor. This way, even if I eat a couple of pretzels, I'll still look freaking awesome. But you have to admit, you look at Karrion Kross side by side with Finn Balor, Karrion Kross just overpowers Balor. And not only that, I know Karrion Kross, I don't know if he's carnivore. That's a diet term. In fact, I should ask him because, you know, we do once in a while exchange some words. I got to ask him. If he happens to see this, DM me. I'm curious, are you on carnivore? Because I know when I first started keto, one of the first people showing support to me was him. And he is really, 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 really strict about diet. And trust me, I've learned a few things from him talking about his diet. But this guy, if you look at his guns, like his, I mean, I can't show it, but if this is my arms, they were like this. His arms look the biggest I've ever seen them look. He must be going maniac crazy in the gym right now. He looked like a legit jacked up. You know, he looked the role tonight. I know not everybody out there is high on the guy, and that's only because of exposure. Not everybody saw him in Impact. You know, not everybody saw him in Lucha Underground for that cup of coffee. So they're getting the taste now. And it was unfortunate with the injury, but hell, you know, now we get a chance to see it. And I kind of like this because it seems more like a mutual respect. And if you notice, WWE has moved away from the, what was that movie with Woody Harrelson? Oh my God, I'm drawing a freaking blank because it's late tonight. Someone in the chat room will write it. But there was a lot of people, even me, I said it back in the day, like him and Scarlett reminded me of Natural Born Killers. That's what it was. Reminded me of Natural Born Killers. You know, just that group. But they've moved away from that now. Now it's more, you know, like intelligent, methodical, you know, not just this crazy maniacs. You know, there's more than just TikTok stuff. I'm getting text messaged. Why am I getting tired? Getting text messaged late at night is never a good thing. Let's see what this is. Sorry, everyone. So I'm wrapping up my show. My fiance. It's probably something legit, so she usually doesn't interrupt me unless it's something important, but it's all right. Unless I see something come back now that's important, we can go. We can continue going. Up. Let's see. It's okay. You want to see what she text? Yeah, I'll show you. This is what she had to say to interrupt. So anyway, so that's how we go off the air. Fun show. AEW, I'm going to keep this nice and tight because we talked about a lot of it already. The high points of tonight, Rey Fénix over Matt Jackson was a fun match. I don't like, couple of things. I don't like when Rey Fénix is getting kicked right in the head and he goes to the mat, bounces right back up, does his moves, and then sells it. I know that's his style and I love his work, but some of this, you know, non-selling and overselling, it pisses me off. She would just put emojis. Just loving emojis. So, and I'll give you another one. Well, we'll get to it. It has to do with, well, I could say it now. Eddie Kingston. Let's jump ahead. Kenny Omega comes out with Don Callis. And I brought it up earlier. It was absolutely stupid. Because we open up after the match with Rey Fénix and Matt Jackson. You have Eddie Kingston with John Moxley. I don't know if they were just in someone's house with the little fire pit or if they were in a restaurant. But they're sitting there and they're cracking jokes about Revolution. They're cracking jokes about the lack of explosions. And it was hilarious when Moxley said that Impact Wrestling paid for the bomb. That was fucking funny. And, you know, Eddie Kingston is trying to, look, if there's anybody that could take chicken shit and turn it into chicken salad, it's Eddie Kingston. Eddie Kingston bringing up flashbacks, you know, and that's why he freaked out with everything, with the sirens and everything like that. I bought into it. He tried. As I said on Sunday, I truthfully believe that Kingston and Moxley had no idea that some of this stuff didn't go off because Kingston was face down and Moxley was in his chest. Now, I did laugh tonight towards something when Kenny Omega started reenacting what happened with Kingston and Moxley on Sunday. He tells Don Callis, he's like, come on, 69 me. And you actually see Don Callis go on Kenny Omega, and he's kind of like moving. So Don Callis's ass is in Kenny Omega's face. I did laugh at that. But, man, I got so freaking annoyed after that because Kingston comes out. So everything that Don Callis had just said that, you know, Moxley is dead and Kingston is rattled, they were there. It was just dumb. They shouldn't have waited 72 hours. Obviously, they didn't expect this to happen the way it did. They thought about it, and this is what they decided to do. Like Mick Foley said earlier today, they should have just owned up on it, not even bring it up, and just let it go. They should have just owned up on it and said, look, you know, unfortunately, things didn't work out. You know, sorry, we'll do better. And I think fans would respect that a lot more. But here comes Eddie Kingston. And here's why I had the problem about the segment tonight. Eddie Kingston hits the ring. Omega is getting in his face, telling him off. And he's basically telling Eddie Kingston to nail him and see what happens. You know, you hit me in the face, see what happens. Because the Good Brothers are in the ring too. And Eddie Kingston, you know, how he's anime and everything. He looks at the camera, he's like, and he just wails Kenny Omega once, punches him in the face. That was my problem. Eddie Kingston hit Kenny Omega in the face once. Kenny Omega acted like he was unconscious. We just had, 72 hours ago, an exploding barbed wire death match where bats were going to people's heads and crazy ass shit. And one punch knocks you out. Did not like that at all. Did not like that at all. Moxley comes out, makes the save. We have a little brawl, and you could see where this is going. I think we will end up getting Kenny Omega and the Good Brothers versus Moxley, Kingston, and Christian. I think we will, maybe, obviously not next week, but I wouldn't be surprised if the week after or 2 weeks after that, we may actually see that. My problem is what I said earlier. You're hyping this up for Rebellion, April 24th. That's 6 weeks from now. Who cares that Kenny Omega is fighting the Impact champion? The Impact, and this is storyline now. This is storyline. The Impact champion isn't angered enough to show up at Dynamite and try to take out Kenny Omega. And we're supposed to buy into that? Where's the heat, the tension? They blew that. They blew it. Chuck Taylor, I know he tries, but honestly, to me, for me, Chuck Taylor cuts the worst promo in all of AEW wrestling. He talks like you and I would talk in a library. The guy just doesn't look it, doesn't sound it, isn't angry. You know, they had that one feud with Santana Ortiz, which was excellent. But he's just like, oh, just give us one more time. And I'll do whatever you want. It just like, comb your hair, you know, get a little pissed off, and maybe not wear a Philadelphia, you know, jersey. I don't like Chuck Taylor at all. I mean, he's talented. I like some of the matches, but he cuts a promo. Oh, my God. I want to change the channel. There's no tension, no suspense. You know, it's just, put it this way. Chuck Taylor is kind of like the verbal opposite of Orange Cassidy. I mean, it's just, I don't know. I don't like it. Tony Schiavone, they were having the audio problems. So there was some audio issues there, but what happened was Cody Rhodes had a squash match against Seth Gargis. Seth has been on Dark a few times. Very quick match. Some people were complaining online, what does Cody need a squash match for? That was the reason to get Cody out there so Penta could confront him. And, you know, it starts off with a little respect. Penta talking in Spanish and Alex Marvez interpreting for him, saying that if Cody is the prince of pro wrestling, then he's the lord of Lucha Libre, and the crowd is chanting, Lucha Libre. But then Penta starts talking in English, and he basically says that in the ladder match, he wishes he would have hurt Cody's arm more, and he would have hurt Cody's arm so bad that he wouldn't be able to pick up his baby girl. That's it. Cody snaps. Big pull apart, sets up a match for next week. I personally would have loved to have seen it build for another week or two, but we're getting the match next week. I'm looking forward to it. That was probably one of my highlights for tonight, without a doubt. Now we get Kakas again. Tony Schiavone introduces Sting.
Sting comes out, says Darby Allin is a dangerous man. Before he can say anything else, Lance Archer interrupts him, and he says that if he doesn't get his time, he's going to, you know, take it out on others. And I got so pissed off. I'm like, why are you trying to force this heel turn with Lance Archer? Leave him the fuck alone. I fucking thought that was such an unforced error tonight. Was not needed. I guarantee you that AEW fans are probably more pissed off about that segment than they're happy with it. I did not like that at all. Ethan Page over Lee Johnson. You know, as I said, we had the NBA audio mixed in. So, you know, you heard basketball sounds while the match was going on. QT Marshall with an interview segment in the back, turning on Dustin. I don't think anybody gives a shit about it. It's so... I'm telling you, I don't know who I dislike more as far as entertainment value. Not personally, just entertainment value. QT Marshall or Chuck Taylor? I probably like Chuck Taylor a little bit more because the best friend's gimmick is actually entertaining at times, but he is so dry on the freaking mic, Chuck Taylor. It's just no emotion. No emotion. It's... I'm not accusing him of taking drugs, but it almost feels like he pops a couple of sleeping pills before he cuts a promo. So it's, remember that character from Spaceballs? That's what he's like. You know, should be yawning while he's telling that shit. The six-woman tag match, Hikaru Shida, Ryo Mizunami, and Thunder Rosa beat Nyla Rose, Britt Baker, and Maki Ito. Match starts with everybody brawling, except for Maki Ito, who is on the rampway singing, doing her shtick, which actually I thought was entertaining at first. It would have been funny if somebody would have nailed her in the middle of her doing her shtick, but it was entertaining to see everybody brawling and she's still dancing and singing back and forth. But then we add those horrendous microphone shots to Shida. And I don't know if anybody caught it too. Hikaru Shida selling it while Vicky Guerrero has like a kendo stick against her neck. It was just a little bit too far-fetched for me. Too far-fetched. I didn't mean somebody should nail her in a sexual way, James Pascoe. Somebody should have just laid her out while in the mid. And that will happen. You will see Maki Ito, if she still stays in the States for a while, you'll see her come out, do her singing, and halfway through it, somebody will clock her. But match was a lot quicker than I expected it to be. Basically, what ended up happening was Thunder Rosa, Rebel. I mean, now, again, this is me, stickler to detail, but shit like this pisses me off too. They do the storyline at the pay-per-view that Rebel is injured and she can't be in the match. So they allowed Maki Ito to be in there instead. I'm fine with that. It was fun. It was entertaining. It was fine Sunday. But now the storyline continues that Rebel cannot compete because she's injured. And we're watching on the TV that she's not injured. She's using a crutch to hit people. And Tony Khan is still playing a storyline that she can't compete. You can't use social media and then try to, you know, play both sides. So after the match is over, Britt Baker beats down on Thunder Rosa, puts the mandible claw on her. Rebel, I don't know what she was doing. I think she was trying to shove the crutch, rake it across the head, forehead of Thunder Rosa. But this is to set up the unsanctioned lights out match next week. Expect a lot of interference. I kind of liked Nyla Rose's work tonight. But the match, you know, it had its moments, but I expected more. It felt like Ryo Mizunami is already almost an afterthought, which is kind of a shame. It was kind of a shame. Matt Hardy, as I said earlier, back with Private Party at the bar, and they introduce Butcher and Blade, blah. Hangman Page, they had a segment interviewing him, how he's spending Matt Hardy's money. He bought whiskey, a saddle, lots of vinyl records, which he donated, a new lawnmower. Remember early on with the lawnmowers? I don't know if any of you remember those segments. Dark Order all showed up riding the lawnmowers. And, you know, it was a fun segment. It was a fun segment. I think we pretty much knew exactly where that storyline was going. You know, Hangman Page was just going to buy goodies, you know, everyday life stuff. Now we have to see segments of Matt Hardy being broke. And that kind of was missing tonight. You know, him still being able to hire the services of Butcher and Blade, I mean, obviously he has more money than just that quarter earnings, but, you know, play off that, you know, you're a little bit impoverished right now, you know? I would have showed him, like, maybe drinking, like, some no-name brand stuff. Like, what's with this no-name brand stuff? You know, I don't have money right now. Should have had, like, the cheapest shit. Or he should have wore some cheap-ass clothes that look like they came from a Salvation Army. Just my opinion. Darby Allin retaining the title, TNT title over Scorpio Sky, which was a lot of fun. I praised it at the very beginning of this show. Darby Allin showed, you know, that he doesn't need a lot of that extracurricular shit. They tore it up. And my initial reaction to Scorpio Sky turning was stupid. Because he's one of the most popular wrestlers on that roster. Everybody wants to see him go further. But after thinking about it a few minutes, I liked it because this is going to turn into a feud. You want them to have this feeling, this aura, suspension of disbelief that they don't like each other. And Darby Allin is not going to turn heel. And Darby Allin is not going to attack him. Somebody had to attack somebody to intensify the feud. Scorpio Sky was the one to do it. So, fine with it. Then, the very end, Inner Circle, War, you know, whatever the shit was, have to address Chris Jericho comes out, MJF, Santana Ortiz, Jake Hager, no Wardlow. And basically, yeah, well, George, Scorpio kind of pulled the Bob Backlund, but this, I think, was more of disappointment. You know, I understand what you're saying. I mean, I still remember it. He's looking at his hands like he didn't know what he just did. That was awesome. One of my favorite matches, Bob Backlund versus Bret Hart, and then Backlund turning on Bret Hart. A lot of people don't realize this, but we're not even talking about Raw stuff. We're talking about, I think it was Superstars when that was on. So the Inner Circle segment is basically what happened. They come out, want to address War Central, whatever it is. They want to address their problems. And to me, it's just the same shit that's been going on for 2-3 months. You know, oh, we're having problems. Oh, we're better than ever. Oh, we have to have a match in the ring to get it over with. Oh, we're better. It's just back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. So tonight, Jericho says maybe we need to add a member. MJF says maybe we don't need to add a member. They kind of tease a little tension. Sammy Guevara comes out. Sammy Guevara has some video that he wants to show Jericho. Jericho says he means nothing to the Inner Circle anymore, but ends up being able to show the footage. Basically what happened was, and it was funny because it's pretty much what Guevara got mad at MJF for doing. Like MJF was trying to record stuff, and Guevara sets up a hidden camera and they show like footage fast forwarding, like everybody's sitting around. And then it stops, and MJF enters the room, and MJF tells all the members of the Inner Circle, except Jericho wasn't there, like, tonight's the night, pretty much saying that they're going to get rid of Chris Jericho. And how did MJF know Sammy had the footage, Mr. Mike? Honestly, if you really want to read between the lines, if I'm sitting in a room earlier in the day and I'm with friends and then suddenly I see that footage on a screen, I know that somebody recorded me earlier. You understand what I'm saying? So I think that's the reason why MJF acted almost like he knew about it, because of, you know, seeing the footage. The minute you see that room and you see the people where they're sitting, you kind of know. So basically, they act like the whole Inner Circle is going to attack Jericho.
And if you look at it closely, because I noticed it, MJF tells Santana, Ortiz, and Hager to get Jericho. Guevara is on the same side as Jericho. Jericho drops his bat. Guevara drops whatever, microphone or whatever. And Santana, Ortiz, and Hager are walking slowly towards Jericho. If you look at it closely, Jericho looks at one of them and goes like this. So you knew immediately that everybody was going to turn around and start turning on MJF. And that's what happened. They turned around, and MJF is begging, please, Chris, I wasn't going to do that. Please, please, please. At one point, MJF is acting like he was going to cry. And Jericho officially fires MJF from the Inner Circle. And MJF has no problem because he's been building his own Inner Circle. The lights go out. They come back on. And it's Wardlow, FTR, and Shawn Spears. Tully Blanchard as well. And I had just said on Sunday and last week and a week before that I can't stand how they're not using FTR of anything worthy. You know what I mean? It's after they lost the tag titles, they've done pretty much squat. And sure enough, they show up and they start beating down the Inner Circle. MJF is just sitting in the corner. And, you know, Wardlow, you know, without the, you know, the ponytail, you know, tied in, he looked like a monster. FTR is FTR. They're great. Shawn Spears doing, I think at one point, I think Dax kind of hurt his hand breaking like one of the sugar bottles. I mean, you'd be surprised. Even if you break one of those, you actually could hurt your hand still. But they did a beatdown, handcuffed Santana and Ortiz, and they actually pile drove them, did the spike pile driver. Tully Blanchard jumped off, which was cool. And they did the spike while they were handcuffed, which looked really cool. But MJF with the ring nails Jericho in the head, busts Jericho open. And then it was funny because they looked like they were getting tired. They carried Jericho out of the ring, and Santana Ortiz is laid out. Guevara is laid out. And they bring Jericho to, like, up the rampway. And Wardlow powerbombs Jericho through two very padded tables with a lot of water bottles for that visual effect. And that's how they go off the air. So now you have Hager, Santana, Ortiz, Jericho, and Guevara. Five. I know there's already five, but I'm just showing it like this. On the opposite side, you have MJF, Wardlow, FTR, which is two, and Shawn Spears, five. Tully Blanchard obviously is there as well, but obviously can't do much. Guy's fucking almost 70 years old. But I like how they went off the air with this. It was a mess. Don't get me wrong. It was a mess. But I like now we have something meaningful for FTR. And the Inner Circle now are baby faces. FTR, they're going to feud with Santana Ortiz, most likely. Guevara will have his feud a little bit with MJF. Hager and Wardlow will have their feud. They will not be a tag team. That's probably the only negative thing coming out of this. I know a lot of you out there were me that we would have liked to have seen Hager and Wardlow be a tag team with a little bit of that comedy father going on, but we didn't get that. We didn't get that. So, and that was really it. So, you know, it had a couple of moments that I liked, but it was a mess. It was an absolute mess. Now, ratings. Boy, this is a tough one, man. Ratings is tough. Like I said, NXT, there's no reason why NXT shouldn't beat AEW this week. And you know what? Even though I am going to be way off, and you know for the last couple of weeks, 2-3 weeks, I've been within 2,000-3,000 of NXT's rating every week. I don't care. And I'm serious. I don't care if I'm wrong this week. I'm going to make a prediction that NXT wins this week. I don't care if I'm wrong. All I know is that watching both shows tonight, I enjoyed NXT 1,000 times more than I enjoyed AEW.
And other than the Halloween Havoc type stuff and the, you know, the themed NXT shows, it's not often that I have that. So I personally think NXT tonight does, I'm going to go with, you think about it. Wow, that's kind of tough. You think about it because NXT's been done sixes. They've done low sevens. I don't see them getting a 100,000 viewer jump, even with the announcements. Yes, we had Shirai versus Storm. Yes, we had Balor versus Cole. We didn't know that we would have a tag title match tonight. But I'm going to say NXT does 788. I'm going to go with 788 for NXT. And I think AEW loses, not by much. I'm going to say AEW does 754. I'm going to go with 788 to 754. That kind of feels low because that's 1.53 million viewers. Last week we had more than that. But then again, Shaq, and you notice how Shaq disappeared? Nothing. That was another thing. Shaq vanished out of the ambulance. You saw the footage online, right? Him running out of the ambulance. That's inexcusable. What was the purpose of teasing Shaq disappearing? What was the purpose? There was no reason to do that. You see what I mean? Adding an extra ingredient to something that's already good. Oh, this sauce is good. Oh, let me add a little lamb to it. Let me add a little orange juice to it. It's freshly squeezed. Stop adding extra ingredients that are not necessary. I'm going to go a little higher. I'm going to say NXT does, wow, I don't want to break eights, but I'm going to go 796. That's way high, man. No, I go, fuck it. This is just for fun. I'm going to go 796 for NXT. And for AEW, I'm going to go 761. 796 to 761. That's about 1.5. 3 million viewers, 5.4. I think, okay, I'll go with that. I'm going to go with that. If it's wrong, it's wrong. If it's right, I'll play it 1,000 times with audio this time around. By the way, if anybody's interested, this weekend we have NXT. It's getting late, obviously. Impact Wrestling having Sacrifice. This is not a bad card. So I just want to read you the card. Maybe you're interested in checking it out. Intergender tag team match, Havoc and Nevaeh versus Tennille Dashwood and Caleb with a K. You could have Decay versus Reno Scum. Chris Sabin and James Storm versus Cody Deaner and Joe Doring. As you see already, we got three tag team matches. Eddie Edwards versus Brian Myers in a hold harmless match. TJP defending the X Division title against Ace Austin. The Good Brothers versus Finn Juice, probably the one match that everybody wants to see. It's for the Impact Tag titles, by the way. Deonna Purrazzo versus ODB for the Knockouts title. You have Fire and Flavor of Kira Hogan and Tasha Steelz defending the Knockouts Tag titles against Jordynne Grace and Jazz. And the main event, which is Unifying. Unifying a title that somebody brought out there that was never really acknowledged, but they're doing it anyway. Moose with his TNA championship and Rich Swann with his Impact championship, they will fight, and both of those belts will be unified. The winner of this match will take on Kenny Omega at Impact Wrestling Rebellion. Remember when I said Battle of the Belts? I have a feeling we will see possibly the Young Bucks versus the Good Brothers at Rebellion as well. They haven't hyped it. There's been no rumors, no teasers. But I think, you know, and imagine if you could get Finn Juice as a three-way on top of it. But then again, if it's Battle of the Belts, you don't want a team out there that don't have belts. So we will see what happens. But with that said, I'm out of here. We went 2 hours and 15 minutes. A little longer.
But I had some rants. I'll tell you the truth. I don't know how I'm going to do timestamps tonight because we had some very detailed rants about various topics at the same time. But I hope you enjoyed tonight's show. And as I always ask, if you don't mind, if you enjoyed tonight's episode, before you go, just hit that like button. This will tell YouTube that you enjoyed the show, and they in return will recommend it more to other viewers out there. And trust me, whenever I get little DMs or comments on the videos or even emails of people saying, hey, just learned about your channel, love your stuff and this and that, I'm not kidding. I credit some of that to all of you because without your support and recommendations, a lot of other people would not know about this channel. So it's amazing to do this since 1997, and there's still a lot of people that don't know about yours truly. But that's all good. That's all good. It tries to help me stay fresh with everything. But anyway, I'm going to go. Let me edit this, get this online. I obviously have to return the conversation. And then tomorrow night, we have the Q&A, AMA, do another contest. I don't want to pull the wheel out there, but I got a new stand, so the wheel is like this high, and I kind of like revamped it a little bit. So we'll have another drawing tomorrow. Somebody will win. And I took care of everybody last week, so everybody got their prizes. So I hope you all can join me tomorrow night, 10:05 p.m. Eastern. And I'm not sure yet if I'm going to put more footage of me from back in the day with on the indie circuit doing stuff. Not very good many times. Or if maybe we'll just grab some vintage audio, or maybe we just take a week off from doing that stuff. We'll see. We'll see. We'll see what goes on tomorrow. It's a little hectic still over here, but much love, everybody. I thank you for the support, and I will catch you all again from Wednesday Night Dynamite next week. So next week's going to be a fun show. You see it already. AEW's really hyping up their card next week. So I put it this way, even if NXT wins this week, as of right now, don't know if they'll be able to do it 2 weeks in a row. As of now, I think AEW will grab that the win right back next week. But we'll see. So, all right, everybody, good night. Take care. Much love, and I'll talk to you soon.